As we reach the end of these 12 nights of Muharram, we are still yet to reach our target to cover our costs for the programs of Aza. If you would like to donate, you can do so via bank transfer or PayPal using the link that has been circulated and that is in the YouTube description, or using the QR code that is displayed on screen. I'd now like to invite Sheikh Azhar Nasser to deliver his final majlis of these 12 nights of Muharram. Can I please ask all the mu'mineen to join me in welcoming Sheikh with the loudest recitation of three salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة يا ليتنا فيا ليتنا كنا معكم سيدي فنفوز والله فوزا عظيما قال تعالى في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين يؤذون الله ورسوله لعنهم الله في الدنيا والآخرة وأعد لهم عذابا مهينا صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد Respected elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This verse that I began with is verse number 57 from Surah Al-Ahzab. And it follows the famous verse that we've all memorized. Ayah 56 of Surah Al-Ahzab is the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا Ayah 56 of Surah Al-Ahzab In it, there is an instruction for us to engage in an activity that Allah Himself does. There are very few things that Allah commands us to do and He Himself does it. Allah commands us to pray, but Allah doesn't pray. Allah commands us to fast, but Allah doesn't fast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to do many things. But among the things that He commands us to do and He Himself does is salawat. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Allah and His angels, they send salawat upon the Prophet. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers us an invitation. Of course, Allah's salawat is His mercy being descended upon the Prophet. And if you look at the ayah, there is the fi'l mudara, the imperative verb that is used. Yusallun. So it's not that this is something that happened once and it's finished. At every single moment, Allah and His angels, they send salawat upon the Prophet. And then Allah says what? You know, this ayah is very powerful because Allah is highlighting here that this servant of mine is so beloved to me that at every moment I am taking him higher and higher. And this is what we recite in the tashahud. The recommendation in tashahud is to say what? We say at the end of the tashahud, we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَارْفَعْ دَرَجَتَ. We ask Allah to elevate His status. One of the ways in which Allah elevates the status is through the mechanism of salawat. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Now when this ayah was revealed, اللهم صل على محمد. In some of the traditions, when this ayah was revealed, the companions, they asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, قَدْ عَلِمْنَا كَيْفَ نُسَلِّمْ عَلَيْكَ. We know how to greet you. Because one of the possible meanings of يُسَلِّمْ وَتَسْلِيمًا is to greet the Prophet. They say, we know how to greet you. We know how to say salam to you. وَلَكِنْ كَيْفَ نُصَلِّ عَلَيْكَ. How do we send salawat upon you? And this is where the Prophet teaches them الصلوات الإبراهيمية. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم. And this is why the Prophet, in many traditions, he warns his companions, he warns Muslims, لا تصلوا علي الصلاة البتراء. The Prophet says, do not send me an amputated salawat. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what is an amputated? What is an incomplete, amputated salutation? He says, it is to send salawat upon me and forget my Ahlul Bayt. Just to forget my family. So one aspect of our relationship with the Prophet is to continuously send salutations upon him. And then ayah number 57. So one part of wilayah of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt is to show that mawadda, that tawalli. Ayah 57, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights another important dimension of our relationship with the family of the Prophet. And this is where many fail. Allah says what? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Verily, those who hurt Allah and His Messenger. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Now, when you read this verse, the question that should arise is, does Allah get hurt? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ those who hurt Allah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِلَهِ, you are Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar. Who can possibly hurt you? You are the omnipotent. You are Al-Qahar. Nothing exists without you. There is no power without you. How can anyone or anything hurt you? Hurting the Prophet is understandable because he's a human being. But how can someone hurt you? The idea here is Allah wants to send us a very powerful message. And that is, when you hurt Rasulullah, I take it personally. It's as if you have declared war on me. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَ. Now when you think about hurting the Prophet, there are many ways that someone can hurt the Prophet. One of the ways in which you hurt the Prophet is to hurt the Prophet himself. You insult the Prophet, just like the Abu Sufyans, the Abu Jahals, and some of the Munafiqeen, they hurt the Prophet. وَمِنْهُمُ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ النَّبِيِّ وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ أُذُنٌ. Some of the Munafiqeen, they would hurt the Prophet. They would ridicule the Prophet and they would call him the ear. Because the Prophet was so consultative. He used to listen to people. He used to allow people to speak. And these hypocrites, they thought that this was a weakness in the Prophet. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi was such a humble leader that he would listen to people. He wasn't dismissive. He wasn't a dictator. Yes, ultimately he made the decision that he felt was best, but he allowed people to speak. He allowed people to express their views. Munafiqeen thought that this is a weakness in the Prophet. And they used to make fun of him. They used to call him the ear. Now, this is one way to hurt the Prophet. But we know that there are some people who the Prophet considers a part of himself. Fatima bad'atun minni. Man adaha faqad adani. Fatima is a part of me. Whoever hurts her, hurts me. This ayah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, we can extend it to Fatima. حُسَيْنٌ مِنِّي وَأَنَا مِنْ حُسَيْنٍ. Hussein is from me and I am from Hussein. If someone hurts Imam Hussein, you don't think this hurts the Prophet? Of course, it hurts the Prophet. Rasulullah was very sensitive towards Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. In fact, one day the Prophet was passing by the house of Ali and Fatima and he heard Imam al-Husayn crying. He was a baby, he was a child, he was crying. And this is something that's natural, children cry. Rasulullah, he went to Fatima, he says, "Oh Fatima, why is Hussein crying? Please look after him." أَمَا تَعْلَمِينَ أَنَّ بُكَاءَ الْحُسَيْنِ يُؤْذِينِي. Try to make him stop. Look after him. What does he need? Oh Fatima, don't you know that the crying of Hussein hurts me? I say, "Ya Rasulullah, if the crying of Hussein hurts you, what would have happened to you on the day of Ashura?" Now, this ayah, by virtue of the ahadith that we have, where the Prophet says, "Ali is from me, Hassan is from me, Hussein," whoever hurts the family of the Prophet has hurt Rasulullah. And whoever hurts Rasulullah, Allah takes it personally. It's as if you've declared war against Allah. Now, what is the punishment of people who do this? لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Those who hurt the Prophet, it's not only that they're deprived of Allah's rahmah in the hereafter. This is a sunnah of Allah, that if you hurt the Prophet, you will pay the price here in this life, even before the akhirah. When you look at what happened to those who participated in the killing of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, we see this ayah come to life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed, He made every single one of them suffer and they were disgraced in this life even before the hereafter. You look at, for example, Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Yazid ibn Muawiyah, la'anahullah. How long did he last after killing Imam al-Husayn? 3 years. 3 years. He did not last very long. Within three years, he left this world. And there are different reports about how he died. Some reports say that he died of thirst. There's another narration that says, you know, if you look at the resume of Yazid, one of his resumes is that he was very fond of monkeys. I'm serious. He had a monkey. And one narration says that this monkey bit him and he died. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. So look at, this person is so low that it's not that a human being kills him, because he's not insan himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings an animal to finish him. 3 years, he's gone. Does anyone even mention Yazid? In fact, anyone who might have a affiliation in terms of lineage to Yazid, everyone wants to disassociate from Yazid ibn Muawiyah. 3 years, gone, disgraced. If you look at Khuwaylid ibn Yazid al-Asbahi, this wicked individual, who Umar ibn Sa'ad said to him, I want you to take the head of Imam al-Husayn straight to Kufa. The other heads, they remained with the caravan. But we need to expedite the head of Imam al-Husayn to Ubaidillah ibn Ziyad. So do you know what this man does? Allahu Akbar. He takes the head of Imam al-Husayn and he puts it in a bag. Can you imagine? And he rides and rides the whole night until he arrives in Kufa at the palace of Ibn Ziyad. It was late. The gate was closed. He says, I want to see Ibn Ziyad. They say, sorry, come tomorrow. So he goes to his house. I want you to see how Allah humiliates and disgraces these people. He goes to his house. He knocks on the door. His wife opens the door. She says, what are you doing? It's in the middle of the night. He says to her, I am carrying the greatest of treasures with me. I am carrying in this bag the greatest treasure. She says, what is it? He says, I am carrying Ra'sul Hussein. Can you imagine how demonic these people are? His wife said to him that, Wayhak, may Allah curse you. Men, they come back to their families after a journey and they bring gifts in the form of gold and silver. You come to me with the head of the grandson of Rasulullah and you're boasting about it? She said, tonight our marriage is over. She left him. He lost his wife. He lost his family. She said, my head and your head will never lay on the same pillow ever again. She kicks him out. This is Khuwaylid ibn Yazid al-Asbahi. Even though technically these people won the battle, the physical battle, they were demoralized. Allah broke their spirit. You look at Ibn Ziyad himself. Ibn Ziyad, whose mother is Marjana, when she found out that her son was behind the killing of Imam al-Husayn, his own mother disowned him. His own siblings disowned him. This is the meaning of it. لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Disgraced all of them. All of those who participated in the killing of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, within 5 years, they were all killed. They literally lost the dunya and the akhirah. And perhaps the most famous of these stories is when you look at what happened to Umar ibn Sa'd. Umar ibn Sa'd, who was the head commander on the day of Ashura against Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. You know, there's a conversation that occurred before the battle took place between Imam al-Husayn and Umar ibn Sa'd. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, before the battle begins, he says, I want to meet with Umar ibn Sa'd. They arrange a meeting. Imam al-Husayn, he goes with Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas and the Bani Hashim. Umar ibn Sa'd also comes with his entourage. Him and Imam al-Husayn, they come face to face. They have a meeting. The narration says, Imam al-Husayn says to him, Yabna Sa'd, Ama tattaqi Allah alladhi ilayhi ma'aduk? Oh, Ibn Sa'd, don't you fear Allah, the one who you will inevitably meet? أتقاتلني وأنا ابن من علمت? Are you going to fight me while you know who I am? Umar ibn Sa'd knew fully who Imam al-Hussein was. In fact, what makes what Umar ibn Sa'd even more egregious is that he was related to Imam al-Hussein. He was related to Imam al-Hussein. He was the cousin of Imam al-Hussein. So imagine, he also commits qat al-rahim. Even if Imam al-Hussein was nobody, this is your family. This is your relative. Imam says, don't you know who I am? Then the Imam alayhi salam, he invites him. He says, ذَرْ هَاُولَاءِ الْقَوْمِ وَكُنْ مَعِي. Imam al-Hussein says, leave these people. Join my army. Come to my side. فَإِنَّهُ أَقْرَبُ لَكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Because it will bring you closer to Allah. Now look at what happens. فَقَالَ عُمَرُ بْنُ سَعَدٍ أَخَافُ أَن يُهْدَمَ دَارِي. Umar ibn Sa'd, he says to Imam al-Hussein that, oh Hussein, I'm afraid that if I join you, my house will be demolished by Bani Umayyah. I'm afraid they're going to demolish my house. So what does Imam al-Hussein say? فَقَالَ الْحُسَيْنِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ أَنَا أَبْنِي هَالَكَ. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, he says, if they demolish your house, I will rebuild it for you from my wealth. And then he says what? أَخَافُ أَن تُؤْخَذَ ضَيْعَتِي. I'm afraid they're going to take my properties. My orchards, my gardens, my farm. I'm afraid they're going to take my land. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, he says, أَنَا أُخْلِفُ عَلَيْكَ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا مِنْ مَالِ بِالْحِجَازِ. Imam says, I will give you better land from my own personal wealth. Anywhere in Hijaz you want, I'll buy it for you. And then Umar ibn Sa'd, he had another excuse. فَقَالَ لِي عِيَالٌ وَأَخَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ. He says, I'm worried about my family. The narration says that when Imam al-Hussein saw that he always had an answer, he always had an excuse. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, he says, Malak, what is the matter with you? ذَبَحَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَى فِرَاشِكَ عَاجِلًا. May Allah slaughter you in your bed. وَلَا غَفَرَ لَكَ يَوْمَ حَشْرِكَ. And may Allah never forgive you. May Allah not forgive you on the Day of Judgment. This is a dua of Imam al-Hussein. This dua of Imam al-Hussein was fulfilled. Mukhtar ibn Ubaidillah al-Thaqafi, he actually ended up killing Umar ibn Sa'd. Umar ibn Sa'd, why did he fight Imam al-Hussein? Because he was promised the governorship of Ar-Ray. It's hubb al-dunya. And don't think that this is only Umar ibn Sa'd. Sometimes we do it, but we do it on a lesser scale. I want this job. I want this inheritance. I want this and that. And what do? We compromise the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is exactly like Umar ibn Sa'd. حب الدنيا. The love of this world leads us to do what? We cheat, we steal, we take what doesn't belong to us. This is exactly like Umar ibn Sa'd. Umar ibn Sa'd didn't wake up one day and say, I'm going to kill the grandson of the Prophet. He developed this mindset when he was young. It was always about dunya. He would do anything to get more, to increase his wealth. حب الدنيا, the obsession with this material world. Now after Umar ibn Sa'd, after he kills Imam al-Hussein, he wants to go get his ja'izah, he wants to go get his reward from Ibn Ziyad. So he goes to claim his reward. He did the job. He fulfilled the job. In fact, he was the first one to shoot an arrow at the camp of Imam al-Hussein. And when he shot that arrow, he says, be a witness with the Amir, with Ibn Ziyad, that I was the first one to shoot an arrow at the camp of Hussein. So now he goes, and he's standing before Ibn Ziyad. I want to give you an example of la'anahumullah fi dunya wal akhir. He stands before Ibn Ziyad, he says, okay, now I want my governorship. Ibn Ziyad, he says to him that you think, if you're a fool, I'm not a fool. He says, you don't think I had spies on the day of Ashura in Karbala? You think I didn't have spies? Umar ibn Sa'd says, what do you mean? He says, my spies told me that on the eve of Ashura, you were a little bit shaky. They heard you reciting some poetry to yourself. And what was the poetry? The poetry that he cited was, he says, صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. He says you were having a monologue with yourself. You were saying, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا أَدْرِي. I swear I don't know. وَإِنِّي لَحَائِرٌ أُفَكِّرُ فِي أَمْرِي. I'm bewildered. I'm confused about what to do. عَلَى خَطِرَيْنِ. I have two choices. And I don't know which one is the right choice. أَأَتْرُكُ مُلْكَ الرَّيِّ وَالرَّيُّ مُنْيَتِي. Should I just give up the governorship of الرَّي, which is modern day Tehran? Should I just give it up? وَالرَّيُّ مُنْيَتِي. But that governorship of Ray is my ultimate hope. أَمْ أَرْجِعُ مَأْثُومًا بِقَتْلِ حُسَيْنِي. Or should I come back as a sinner who killed Hussein? Hussein ibn Ammi, Hussein is my cousin. وَالْحَوَادِثُ جَمَّةٌ لَعَمْرِي وَلِي فِي الرَّيْ قُرَّةُ عَيْرِي. Eventually he says, I'm going to go with my plan to kill Hussein and gain the governorship of Ar-Ray. Ibn Ziyad, he says, because you were shaky, you don't get the governorship of Ar-Ray. Umar ibn Sa'ad lost the dunya and the akhirah. This is the promise of Allah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. This is it. We see it today. And this is a sunnah. It continues. This was one ayah that I wanted to share. Another ayah that I want to share with you, and this is one of the amazing dimensions of the movement of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. There's an ayah in Surah Ali Imran, verse 54, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and this is a very famous verse. Many of you know it by heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They plot, and Allah plots, and Allah is the best of plotters. What does this mean? Sometimes you might read this ayah and think that this simply means that Allah is so powerful that when evil people make a plan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He disrupts their plan. He interferes with their plan. But that's not what it means. What this ayah means is that no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great and His makr is so strong that He will use your plot to serve His master plan. Meaning that without realizing it, you think you are working against Haq, but you're actually serving Haq without realizing it. Very simple example. If you look at the story of Musa alayhi salam, Fir'aun, he wanted to do what? He wanted to kill all male newborns from Bani Israel. Now, not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stop Fir'aun from killing Musa, Allah says, no, my makr is stronger than that. Not only will you not kill Musa or Fir'aun, I'll make you raise him for me. This is Allah. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. And you think it stops there? No, it didn't stop there. Allah's makr is even stronger than this. When Musa comes back after 10 years with Shu'aib, now he's a messenger of Allah, he has a message. Musa is a shepherd. Musa doesn't have a marketing team. Musa doesn't have promoters. He comes to Fir'aun and he challenges him. He shows him the signs and Fir'aun says what? You know what? I'm gonna bring every sahir in Egypt. And I'm going to organize this event. Without realizing it, Fir'aun gave a platform to the message of Musa alayhi salam. The only reason why Musa's message reached all of the Egyptians is because Fir'aun organized the event. So he thought that by organizing this event on Yawm al-Zina, he didn't realize that I am just a marketing tool for Musa. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. Same thing with Rasulullah. Quraysh, They wanted to kick the prophet out. They wanted to eliminate the prophet. They put so much pressure that Rasulullah sends some Muslims to Habasha, to Abyssinia. Believe me, if they just left the Muslims alone, maybe Islam would have not spread as rapidly as that. Ja'far ibn Abi Talib converts Najashi. Rasulullah goes to Yathrib. Believe me, without realizing it, Quraysh was expediting the spread of Islam. And then you look at Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. You look at what the enemies of Imam al-Husayn, they thought that by parading the heads of the shuhada and taking the women and children as captives, they thought this is how we destroy Husayn and his movement. But they didn't realize that these women and children will be the ones who tell the world about what happened in Karbala. Believe me, if Yazid and Umar ibn Sa'ad and Ibn Ziyad, if they did not organize this caravan of captivity, they would have just said Imam Hussein went to Karbala and he died of thirst. You know, some wild animal, or he got lost and he died in the desert. They wanted to humiliate the women of Ahlul Bayt, but without even realizing it, all they were doing was spreading the message of Hussein. وَمَكَرُ اللَّهُ وَمَكَرُ وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. This is what we see. Now in these nights, we remember the aftermath of Ashura. What happened after the martyrdom of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam? You know, brothers and sisters, when you look at especially Imam Zainul Abideen, Imam Zainul Abideen alayhi salam, he always took advantage of any opportunity to remind people of what happened in Karbala. In fact, Abu Hamza al-Thumali, he says, I was sitting with Imam al-Sajjad, and Imam al-Sajjad was given a cup of water. And whenever Imam al-Sajjad was given a cup of water, he would mix that water with his tears. Until one day, Abu Hamza al-Thumali, he says, Ya ibn Rasulillah, ila mata al-buka? How long are you going to continue to cry for? It's been decades since Karbala. Ila mata al-buka? Al-qatlu lakum aada, wa karamatukum min Allah shahada. That this is not something new, Ya ibn Rasulillah. To be killed is something very common in your family. Ali was killed, Imam al-Hassan was killed, Fatima was killed. It's not something unusual in your family. Wa karamatukum min Allah shahada. And the way that Allah honored you is through martyrdom. Why is this tragedy so difficult for you to bear? To be killed is something common among Ahlul Bayt. Imam Zainul Abideen alayhi salam, what does he say? He says, Na'am shakarallahu sa'yaka ya Aba Hamza. Yes, you're right. You're right. Al-qatlu lana aada, wa karamatuna min Allah shahada. I agree with you. To be killed is common in our family, and martyrdom is our honor. But I ask you, O Abu Hamza, as'aluka billah, ya Aba Hamza, hal sabyun nisa lana aada. Is it also common for us to have our women and daughters taken as captives? When the caravan of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, the narrations say that when it reached Sham, Yazid ibn Muawiyah, he did not allow them to enter the city gates. To humiliate them, he would make them stand. Sahel ibn Sa'ad al-Sa'idi, one of the companions of the Prophet, he says that I was traveling, and I happened to travel through Sham, and I saw that everyone was celebrating. I saw jubilation. I saw that it was a festive occasion in Sham. So I asked one of the men, a couple of the men who were conversing, do the people of Sham have an Eid that I'm not aware of? So they say to him, no, we don't have an Eid, but this celebration is because there is a head arriving from Iraq. So he says, which head is coming from Iraq? And they say, the head of Hussein is arriving. Sahel ibn Sa'd, he says, the head of the grandson of Rasulullah. And people are celebrating this? So he says, I went to see what all the commotion is about. He says, I saw a caravan of women and young girls. He says, and I saw that there was a man holding a spike. He says, I looked at the head that was on the spike, and the head looked like the face of Rasulullah. He says, my eye caught one of the young ladies who was standing, who was in shackles and chains. And this head was in front of her. So I went to her, Ya Amatullah, who are you? And she says to him, Ana yateematu Abi Abdullah. I am the orphan daughter of Hussein. I am Sukayla. He goes and he sees Imam al-Sajjad. Imam al-Sajjad is standing there. He says, I went to Imam al-Sajjad and I greeted the Imam. Ya Ibn Rasulullah, is there anything that I can do for you? The narration says that Imam al-Sajjad, he says, do you have any money on you? I said, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, yes, I have some money. He says, go and give money to the man who's holding the head of my father and tell him to move the head away from the women because strange men are looking at the women of Ahlul Bayt. He says, I went and I gave this man money so he can move the head of Aba Abdullah to protect the honor of the women. He says, then I came back to Imam Zainul Abideen and I said, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, is there anything else that you want from me? He says, the Imam said to me, Ya Sahal, hal indaka thawbun atiq? He says, do you have any rags? I said to him, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, you come from a family, you give new clothes to people, and you're asking me to give you rags? He says, yes, go give me rags. So I went and I gave him a rag, and I wanted to see what he wanted to do with the rag. He says, I gave the rag to Imam al-Sajjad, and he lifted the collar, the shackles, and he put the rag between the shackles and his neck, and he says, I saw blood dripping down from the neck of Imam Zainul Abideen. For 40 days, these shackles were on. For many weeks, these shackles were on the neck of Imam al-Sajjad. When the caravan eventually made its way back to Medina after visiting Karbala, the caravan is now headed back to Medina. There is a poet who captures the moment that Sayyida Zainab sees Medina. And she starts to speak to the city of Medina. She says to Medina, Medina tu jaddina la taqbalina. Fabil ahzani wal hasarat jina. She says to Medina, O Medina, O city of my grandfather, do not welcome us back. Why? Because we are carrying grief and sorrow in our caravan. خَرَجْنَا مِنْكِ بِالْأَهْلِينَ جَمْعَا. O Medina, you remember when we left you? We left and we had Abbas with us. We left you and Ali ibn al-Akbar was with us. We left you and Qasim was with us. We left you and Aba Abdullah was with us.
رجعنا لا رجال ولا بلينا. But now we come back and we don't have any men with us. Our sons are not with us. She goes. Eventually they enter the city. The first place she goes is to the grave of Rasulullah. She sends salam to the Prophet. As-salamu alayka ya jadda. Inni na'iyatun ilayka habibaka al-Husayn. She sends condolences to Rasulullah. She doesn't go back to her house. She goes to the house of Imam al-Husayn. She goes to that empty house. She enters the room. She sees where Aba Abdullah used to pray, where Aba Abdullah used to eat. She says to one of her servants, I want you to close the door. I want to be alone in the house of my brother. Until suddenly there's a knock on the door. The servant comes back. Sayyidina Zainab says, I want to be alone. At that moment, Ummul Baleen enters the house. She says, no, this woman is a partner in our aza. This is the mother of Abbas. Ummul Baleen, she looks at Zainab and she says, عظم الله لك الأج. May Allah reward you for the tragedy of Aba Abdullah. Sayyida Zainab says, عظم الله لك الأجر بمصيبة أبي الفضل العباس. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين. يا حسين.